Just a moment. Just a moment.
Welcome to the Future Law Podcast, exploring where the law has been.
Hey Siri, take a selfie.
And where it's going.
Oh, good afternoon.
From the brilliant.
My name is Sophia, and I am the latest and greatest robot.
To the scary.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
And everything in between. Please welcome your very real and very human host, Dan Hunter.
I'm Dan Hunter. I'm the host of the Future Law Podcast, and you're listening to an episode where we're talking about legal design, and we are at the offices of DWF, Connected Services, the law firm and innovation practice in Manchester. And I'm with three students who've just spent the last 2 weeks working on a really fascinating project around legal design and innovation. I'm going to get them to introduce themselves to you. We'll start with Wumi.
Hi, so I'm Wumi. I'm currently a student at the University of Manchester studying law with politics.
Great, thanks. And?
Hi, I'm Mandeep. I'm also a third year student at the University of Manchester.
Thanks, Mindy.
And hi, I'm Kian. I'm just finished my third year at the University of Manchester studying law.
Tremendous. Okay, so you guys have spent the last 2 weeks working for a client here. As some people might have heard of them. Who was the client and what have you guys been doing?
So we've been working with Manchester United and their OLS team, so their Operational Legal Services team, and working with them to find solutions on how to better manage their tasks on a day-to-day basis.
So what do OLS do? Kian?
So the OLS team works on a range of different projects. If you think about it, they can range from buying your office supplies to actually doing the contracts for the travel tour that the United team goes on every off-season. Mm-hmm. So it's a wide variety of contracts and different agreements, and they kind of work with clients throughout every part of the business, which is really interesting to see kind of how they interact with different clients and kind of the different ranges of work that they actually get on a weekly basis.
So Mandeep, what was the nature of the problem that was presented to you in this design sprint over the last 2 weeks?
So we were initially given a problem statement, and that was based on the initial instructions that the OLS team get from their clients, so the different departments within Manchester United. And the general problem was, the current one, is that they get a lack of instructions or a lack of deadline and just a wide range of factors around instructions. It was just very weak.
Mm-hmm. Did they come to you with that particular problem to start with, or did you have to extract that from them?
They came to us with that as a problem statement. However, we kind of tailored it and made it more specific to contracts and looking to buy contracts, because that was, I think, is around about 60% or like a large part of their daily activities and their tasks as well.
Okay. So Wumi, what was the process that you went through in the first sort of week of this experience?
So in the first week, we essentially just went through the problem itself, and we really broke down the problem. We spent about 4 days of the first week just looking at the problem and breaking it down completely. We created a mood board of how the clients were feeling.
I'm going to get you to talk through the mood board in a second. But how did that process work? I mean, did you talk to the clients during the whole time, or did you come up with the idea and then give it? What was the process?
So essentially, we spoke to the client initially and got a feeling of how they were feeling about the project and what they wanted us to do. And we really just took their ideas and took their problem and came back to the change room and broke it down and really just created a clear mind map of how their problem was and how we would begin to think about it and how we could break down that problem in order to find a solution, which we did later on in the project.
Mm-hmm. Kian, so in that first week, at the end of that first week, did you have a clear understanding of what the problem was, or where were you?
I would say at the end of the first week, we had a really good understanding of what the problem was, and that came from their original concept, going away and preparing questionnaires, actually dissecting that, analyzing it, preparing questionnaires about kind of what actually they do on a day-to-day basis, because that was a big part of it, understanding the procedure they go through when a client contacts them with instructions, what they need to do to actually process that. But at the same time, we had to understand that they have these feelings in terms of the culture that happens there, and anything that we had to implement had to actually fit in with what they currently do. And we couldn't drastically change it straight away, say, this is black and white. Mm-hmm. You actually had to color in between, which is really interesting. We tried different techniques from mood boards to personality personas, and then working in again, breaking it down from our mind maps and everything like that. And I would say at the end of the first week, as Mandeep said, we specify the problem. But we also touched on kind of more personal feelings and connections that the team feels throughout their kind of time working within the organization.
How often did you have to talk with them? How often did they come in to see you?
We talked to them every day in some format. We had two full day meetings with them. One the second day of the week and one the Friday of the week. And then we were in contact with them throughout the entire process, kind of on speed dial, which was quite nice. And I think that was important given that we gave ourselves 2 weeks to come up with a solution. We had to understand that if we needed some information, they were able to contact us. And I think that worked very well between the two groups.
Right. Mandeep, we're sitting, or you're sitting, I'm standing in the changing room at DWF, which is the room where DWF Ventures works on these innovation projects. I'm looking around and seeing the usual sort of design stuff, lots of post-it notes on the board and lots of diagrams and things. Can you talk us through the sorts of things that you actually produced during this process?
Yeah, sure. So to begin with, after our initial meeting with the client, we just basically put all the information onto a board and put it into sections, so it was more visually appealing and it was easier to refer to as well. It was more organized. Mm-hmm. And then based on that information, we did a design of a user persona. So we put ourselves into the client's shoes, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then all the information that we had, we kind of segregated it into what would the client need, want, and like. Mm-hmm. Then, as you know, we had 2 weeks to pretty much come up with a finalized solution. And based on the need, want, and like, we knew what work would we prioritize, what factors will we prioritize. And then that was also split into another half, which was moving on to the solutions bit as well. So based on what they would need this because... And then the solution would be because, for example, they can get a better instruction or they could delegate their work more efficiently. And that brought us onto the solutions as well. So it was pretty much everyone on the team from different experiences, not looking at each other's ideas and pretty much putting the head down, posting notes, putting solutions onto a board. And I think that was really, really fun. And it was really effective as well because we had different experiences, different thoughts, no bias, no looking at each other's ideas and then coming up with solutions. And then from that, from all of our groups of solutions, we moved on to coming up with a storyboard. That was a really creative and fun way that I found personally, I don't know about you guys, but it was a really, really fun way of presenting our solution as a story. So for example, one person from a department, how would they go through the process essentially based on our ideas and our solutions? And then that was split into groups, and then we came up with one overall storyboard, and then we presented that to our clients, and yeah, we had some really good feedback from them.
I think something that you said there was that was really interesting was when we actually started initially thinking about solutions, it was any idea is a good idea. And as you said, we all had our different views on what we could do and what we might like to do. And we had everything from superhero comparisons to Guide to the Galaxy to things like this to coming up with how we could creatively solve their problem and issue. And I think it was a really interesting and really enlightening space to work in. Definitely in terms of people encouraging ideas, no matter what it was, no matter how crazy. And at the end of the day, when we did actually group those ideas, you've seen that there was commonality between different groups and different categories, and that we actually had a common goal in mind, and that came from understanding the specifics of the problem at hand.
Wumi, one of the things that's always interesting about design processes is the desire not to jump immediately to a solution, but to actually start to understand the problem. Is that a familiar thing for you as a law student? And how did you kind of learn the process of maybe not doing that so much?
It's definitely not a familiar thing to me as a law student. In studying law, We're often told to find solutions to problems, and we kind of almost automate our responses and bring up very generalized and basic solutions to issues. And so thinking and being stretched to really think about a problem before jumping to a solution was something that I found really engaging and really encouraging and positive. It was a positive experience to have, because it's not something that you're told to do as a law student. It's not something that you're encouraged to do as a law student either. So it was a really new and refreshing thing to do, and it was a really engaging thing to get involved with, and it was a really great experience to experience as a law student.
How long did it take before you actually started to focus on the solution rather than the problem?
It took about four full days before we started to focus on that actual solution, which was, as I say, in law school, you're literally given a question and you're told to find a solution. And as well with the way that we're assessed during exams and with essays, the solution that you're supposed to come up with is an almost immediate thing. And we're really told to just regurgitate an answer or regurgitate statutes or regurgitate cases that we've been given. But in this instance, taking a few days off to really just think about the problem before engaging with the solution was a really good way to just get you thinking in a more innovative and in a more creative way to find a solution to the problem, to really understand the client, to understand their needs and their business needs before jumping ahead and just finding a solution.
I want to actually ask each of you your experience in terms of taking this back to the law school. What do you think, we'll start with you, Wumi, what do you think is the sort of the most useful and interesting kind of learning that you have in terms of how this might be used within law schools?
I think a take back should be, or for me will be, the fact that it's okay to think creatively, it's okay to think outside the box, it's okay to take time and to map out your design process as opposed to just developing a polished answer based on what you've crammed and based on what you've studied. And I think that's a really key thing for law students to take note of. It's a really key thing for law students to, or for law schools to bring into academia. Not just jumping into things, and not penalizing students for being innovative in their creative in their design solutions, but to actually reward that, and to actually reward students, or to create courses or to create classes and modules that actually reward innovative thinking and that actually boost students or encourage students to do this, as opposed to penalizing them for thinking innovatively and creatively.
I think just going from that as well, as law students, I believe that we do have the capabilities. We are taught to analyze information, to tear it apart, find problems, find solutions. But as you said, I feel like we're penalized for thinking outside the box. It's more of a case of, this is the box, what's the solution within there? And this was the first year as well that we had the legal technology course, and it was our background, that interest, that kind of tempted us to take the courses as optional. But I think that it was really, really important that it should be implemented as well into the overall compulsory curriculum, especially given the current like law services as well and how overlapped it is with other services. So I think it's really, really important.
I think stemming from that as well, you mentioned how law services and legal services is changing. We as law students were always told that it's solicitor, barrister, these are the two routes we can go down and qualify. And that's not the case anymore. Like, the professional sector is actually broadening, and there's a large variety of jobs that you can now go into. But unfortunately for law students, we're not always told about it until we gain an experience like this, where we're taught, okay, we can create different design products, we can actually think creatively, and we're not just held in this box anymore. We can actually step outside and start thinking, okay, it has been like this for so long and so many years. Why? We can question it, and then we can actually consider, we actually think we could do this a different way.
Has this experience changed your understanding of what you're going to do or what you would like to do? I mean, do you think that your careers will involve more of this kind of work?
Definitely. I think before coming into this project and before getting on this project, I was really stuck in that idea, as Kian just said, about having two paths to go into law, and either being a solicitor or being a barrister, and that work entailed doing a set box of things, and that it was really traditional and there was no space for flexibility. But I think there are opportunities like this that are out there, and they are possible to find, and they are possible to get involved with, and I think that's something that I will consider going forward. I'm definitely not going to limit myself in that sense and just get stuck to traditional ways of doing things. But I really think that this has pushed me and encouraged me to think that and to recognize the opportunity to get involved in works such as this, and to continue to search for those opportunities going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. So for me personally, I pretty much had two options. So there was the option of being the traditional, say, solicitor after university, doing my LPC training contract. And that was more practical. It made more sense in my head. But by doing the legal course that we did and the experience now, it's kind of made me realize that my second option, my interests of legal technology and innovation, they are more realistic and there are opportunities out there, because I personally thought, you know what, that's my interest, but how can I get there? There's no clear path as it is now. Like, I would say that we are pretty much the generation that's gonna create that path for future generations as well, future students. Like, this is what you do, these are your options. We're pretty much like the trial students as well. So I think definitely this is a route that I want to go down.
I think it's all about kind of challenging the social norms. So we're told we have to go on and qualify, and that's going to be our life. We're going to go be a trainee solicitor. We're going to do the LPC, be an associate, try and go to partner, try and senior partner and work from there. Whereas we are the ones who can actually break that wheel. And we are the ones who actually can go and say, actually, I would like to go do this as a profession. And design thinking can actually change the way we provide legal services. And I think for our course this year, it was called Legal Technology and Access to Justice. And when you stop and you think about that, the implications of using technology within law could be really interesting and really exciting at the same time. With legal aid cuts in the UK, I know there's a lot of people who would benefit from a service where legal technology is involved and more easily accessible. And I think there's a huge, huge opening in the market for students who are just coming out of university and want to get involved in law in a different way.
You've had this amazing experience. It's very unusual. Do other members of your cohort, friends of yours and that, do they think about things in the same way? Have you been able to sort of talk to them about that particular experience, or is it too early yet?
It's I always find it's very interesting. I have a twin brother who also on the legal technology course, and he's actually moving into legal technology and application in terms of creating technology for legal services with a company called Psyche. And I know a couple other students are actually starting their summer internships with there as well. And it's really interesting. We had guest lecturers come in and speak to us about how technology is changing the legal sector and changing the legal industry, and showing that there are those opportunities. And I think it's something that our cohort has actually been quite good to grasp and interested in really getting involved in.
You just presented to the clients at Man United, and I heard how it went and their response. How do you think it went, and what do you think their response was like?
I think it went fairly well, and their response was positive. The clients were really pleased with the solution that we came up with, and I think, again, it just highlighted the process that it took and the whole journey that we took to get to that solution. And I think that they understood and they saw the impact that journey had. The feedback was generally positive, and the solution was something that could be implemented almost immediately. And even in the presentation and with the client, we began to see how the client was fitting that into their business and how they were seeing the ways that the solutions would work even from Monday when they get back to work. And that was a really great thing to see, as the solution was something that was tangible, something that could work in their business, something that they saw could work in their business going forward. And that was really great to see.
I mean, one of the clients actually said that they bounced back to the office each time they had these meetings with you. So clearly you were doing something right, which is really impressive. Any final sort of thoughts that you had about the experience? Would you recommend it to others? And how do we actually apply this across the board?
I would definitely recommend this opportunity to others. Like, we were the first group to do something like this, to work within a law firm for a client based on a project to do with legal technology, innovation, and design thinking. And I think moving forward, it would be great if more opportunities like this arise, so those who aren't really aware of what legal technology is, what design thinking is, obviously they can come to a work experience or an internship like this and get a really hands-on experience with it. And I feel like overall that will raise the awareness of what we've done and what we're doing as well.
And hopefully we can also begin to see law schools implementing these ideas and really challenging students to get involved in these kind of opportunities. It's one thing to have a passion, it's one thing to have the access to experience these opportunities. So hopefully it's something that we begin to see more and more of in law schools, and we see more students doing these projects in the future.
I agree with that. Massively, I think it's about, we have an opportunity to change the culture of law and to change modern practice into something that is more tangible for the greater population. And unfortunately, if we don't do it, it might not actually happen. It might sink away. So it's really important that we actually take a stand and we show that, you know, it's not as archaic a process as you think, and that we actually can, again, break that wheel and make a real difference in society.
Fantastic. Well, Wumi, Kian, and Mandeep, thank you so much for your time. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Future Law Podcast. For links to the articles mentioned and to contact the hosts, visit futurelawpodcast.com.